Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSFCA. Worldwide, but I am recording from a distant location because we have to do safe space distancing. Everyone can't be in the studio, but you are going to hear a wonderful discussion held yesterday with the Powered by Age podcast, where our author was Doretta Law, the author of Group of Short Stories, etc. But without telling you all about that, I'm going to take you into that conversation now. Hello and welcome to Powered by Age, a senior-led podcast going 55 episodes strong. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your host, and we're going to have an introductory news item by news power newsman Jesse.
Sure. It's a bit of a, well, we'll get to that in a sec. I do want to, before we get started, just acknowledge that we're recording on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples, perhaps more depending on where everyone is joining us from. I also want to remind listeners and everyone here that the Powered by Age podcast is sponsored by the Government of Canada New Horizons for Seniors program and the 411 Seniors Centre Society. And also just give you a reminder, if you were here last week, you might have heard about this, but if not, and maybe just as a reminder, if you did, the City of Vancouver is hosting some dialogue sessions for their accessibility strategy, and they're looking for participants for these virtual sessions. The date of the sessions is Tuesday, June 8th from 10 to 12 p.m. If you're interested in letting the city know what would help you to participate and feel included in your community? They're just looking to recruit some people for a 2-hour long session with 10 to 12 participants. You'll get an honorarium if you participate. There's ASL and closed captioning provided for all the sessions. There's a facilitator and note taker. And if you want, you can get the questions ahead of time. But basically, the idea is they want community members to join the dialogue sessions to inform the creation of phase one for the accessibility strategy. The accessibility strategy will create a livable city designed for all people. Accessibility means being able to reach, understand, contribute to, and use the places, information, and services in our city. So if you, anyone in this who's recording today is interested in participating, or if anyone who's out there listening is interested in participating, you can email karen.lai@vancouver.ca. That's karen.lai@vancouver.ca. Or you can get in touch with Charlotte here, pbaafc@gmail.com. Or if you're recording with us, you can just let us know in the chat and we'll forward your information to the right people.
Yes, just put yes, yes in the chat. Because they particularly are interested in knowing what people that participate in this podcast think. And it's one of the things that seniors have said is that we don't want to hear a review or have an opportunity to review something after you've done it. We want to be a part of the discussion. So we're looking to have four or five or all of you say yes, yes, and be available to attend that. Today, we have a special guest. We have Doretta Law, who is the author of the short story collection, How Does a Single Blade of Grass Thank the Sun? Interesting question. And she is also author of a poetry chapbook called Cause and Effect. And she's writing a comedic novel about an inept company struggling to open a theme park about death. Death is a subject that we've talked about, so it'll be interesting when we're able to support her in that project. Doretta, we will have you introduce yourself, but first the thing we do at the beginning is have everyone just say your name, and if you could say one thing that you love about books or writing. We'll start with Anne.
My name is Anne Drozd, and one of the things I like about books is that they take me to different places and different times and introduce me to different people. people I don't meet every day.
Aideen, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Aideen Dufour. Sorry I missed last week. Something came up. One of the things I love about books, I guess, I love history. And so I really love books that will take me back in time to the Middle Ages. And I just get totally lost in that. I love it.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'm Nancy Sinclair. And I love the feel of a book. I love the feel of a book. And I love studying. I love learning. And in particular, some of my main interests are personal development and spirituality. So I love getting absorbed in books, but I love the tactile feel of a book.
Okay, Chris?
I'm Chris Morrissey, and I'm going to follow on with Nancy. What I've discovered are the audiobooks from the Vancouver Public Library. And so what I've enjoyed about books is being able to select a book and be able to have it with me and walk around the house and do whatever I'm doing and continue to read, listen to my book.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Diane?
I love it.
I'm Diane Babcock, and I love books. I always have since I can't. That was one of my favorite pastimes, was reading, and I still actually have the volume set, the Young Folks classics from when I was a kid, the same ones I read. So they are very old, and I learned a lot about, you know, a lot of wonder and magic is one of my favorite subjects. And also these days, it's more about understanding that it's not so unbelievable. Now I'm understanding the quantum behind it, and I like books for learning, and I like to actually collect books as well. I do collect books. I have a huge bookcase on the other side of this wall.
Well, and it's a real one, not a screenshot of background.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jesse?
Yeah, I'm Jesse, and I've always loved books. I love to get lost in a book and just be transported somewhere else. I have also, over the course of the pandemic, reconnected with my public library, and I think I've read more ebooks in the last 14 months than I had in the previous like 5 years. So it's been nice to catch up on a whole lot of stories.
Thank you. And so now that brings us to our star of the hour. Thank you so much, Doretta Law, for taking time to talk with us. You are a prolific writer. What fuels your writing interests?
Thank you, Charlotte. And thank you, everyone, for sharing everything about, you know, your reading and your passions. I think I just really also like stories. I think like everyone here, I love that kind of place travel and time travel that we can have through reading. And so that kind of transfers to the writing. I'm always thinking about how when we write, we are in many ways in conversation with the writers that we read. You know, it's just like, you know, I joke a lot that, you know, George Saunders doesn't know it, but, you know, I've been having a one-sided conversation with him through the stories I write since grad school. So I think it's just this way of being able to participate in something that I love so much, which is reading, and to be able to make something for other people who also like reading, to be able to enjoy and think about and hopefully bring people just like some fun in their lives, and also to provide a kind of connection for sometimes some of the difficulties that we face, and to really just kind of have that feeling that we're not alone. I think, you know, earlier when you were telling me about how this podcast came to be and how, you know, it's a way that has alleviated loneliness. In some ways, I feel like as readers, we're never alone because we have these amazing characters that are a part of our lives, and our imaginations kind of allow us to connect to these emotions that we might not be able to feel, you know, in person during a pandemic, or because we're stuck at home for other reasons. So, yeah, that's, I guess, a long way of saying that writing is just so transformative for me, and that's why I keep going back to it.
Now, speaking of reading, are you going to share a bit of one of your books with us?
Yes. So I'm going to read from my short story collection. Listeners won't be able to see, but I'll show the cover to everyone who's in the Zoom. So my book's called How Does a Single Blade of Grass Thank the Sun? It's a short story collection, and I'm going to read 5 minutes from a story called Writing in Light. And it's a story about looking at the work of Vancouver artist Jeff Wall. So Writing in Light. 1. Curtis called me at 9:30, waking me. I pretended I had been awake for hours, but he knew better, despite having met me only twice. A few days earlier, he had promised he would take me through Jeff Wall's latest New York exhibition before it closed, but we hadn't confirmed our appointment. Good morning. I meant to wake you, Curtis said. I'm at the gallery. They want to shut off the power, so you should arrive on the early side of 10:30, say 10:15. 10:15, I repeated. See you then. I removed a book about Robert Smithson from a pile of clothes sitting on a chair so I could find the black dress I wanted to wear. For the last few months, I'd been thinking about Smithson's art, dinosaurs, fossils, and skeletons. Somehow I believed that these elements would work in my thesis screenplay, though I wasn't sure what story I was trying to tell. I dressed quickly, but I was careful to look, as my mother might put it, presentable in case I needed to deal with a gallery assistant. Girls who sat at the front desk of art galleries scared me, more so than record store clerks once did. Many things frightened me during this time, germs, vampires, suspension bridges, but I feared people the most. I discovered it was warmer on the street than in my apartment. My room faced a courtyard that didn't get much sunlight. An ex-boyfriend believed that an episode of Law & Order had been shot below my window last year. It seemed like there was always a television show or a movie being filmed in our neighborhood, and then I was moving between reality and fantasy whenever I left home. Although the walk to the 116th Street subway station was a short one, I began to wonder if I would make it to the gallery, located midtown, by 10:15. For a moment, I considered taking a taxi, a luxury I could rarely indulge in, but the urge to be economical overrode the need to be on time. I walked to the subway stop and waited on the platform. The train seemed to take forever to come, a trick of perception. I leaned forward to see if I could spot the lights. It was dark in the tunnel. I began thinking of Jeff Wall's Double Self Portrait, 1979. 2. In Double Self Portrait, the artist looks at us from the corner of his eye. There are two Jeffs in the photograph, one wearing a white shirt with the sleeves rolled up, one in indigo rinse jeans and a gray sweatshirt with sleeves pushed back. The Jeff in jeans is wearing a watch. The other Jeff, the one in the white shirt, has his arms crossed, so it's impossible to know if there is a timepiece on either wrist. Behind the two Jeffs is a couch with a pink blanket on it. Jeff with a watch, the one who possesses the technology to measure the passing of time, is touching a papasan chair that's missing its cushion. The chair is white and looks to me like bleached bones in the desert. The man and his doppelganger are positioned within a room, perhaps located in a building in Vancouver, but that is of little importance. What matters is the look on Jeff's face, the way he is peering at us, out at us, peering in at him. 3. On the train, there was a sleeping couple sprawled on the seats across from me. During my first semester of grad school, I took a photography class with Thomas Roma, who often quoted Robert Frost in his classroom critiques. When I looked at Roma's photographs, even the ones of gospel singers and lovers asleep on the subway, I thought of Frost's poetry. One afternoon, 2 days after I cried during his critique of my photographs, Roma told me he thought writing and photography were the most similar of all the arts. He was certain that taking photographs would help me with my writing. He had once compiled a collection of photographs thinking only of Norman Mailer while he worked. That night, while reading a textbook for a film theory class, I discovered that photography is derived from a Greek word that translates to writing in light. This gave me comfort, I concluded that every art form was a way of telling a story, a record of a particular moment in time, even in cases where there was no discernible narrative. Through word and image, I would find a direction for my work. I could write in light. Thank you. That's just a section from the story.
Doretta Law, reading from her story, Writing in Light, from the compilation, How Does a Single Blade of Grass Thank the Sun? We'll get back to Charlotte and the rest of the Powered by Age crew's conversation with Doretta shortly, but first, a music break. This is Breathe by local artist Kim Ortle.
I dived into this, not knowing what it would feel like. I shed my front, despite my fear of heights. I didn't know what to expect. My heartbeat's in my chest, 100 BPM. Sometimes I forget to breathe. Just breathe. I never really know if I am moving on or backwards. Am I rising into illusions or falling into standards? And how much of my stressing is from expectations wearing thin on my skin and killing me softly? So I give my fears a name. I pluck them up my eye from my own kind of sane and rest. So not every single moment is a test. So I try my best to pause and take a breath. Like at the zenith of my inhale, I know I'm gonna be alright. I'm gonna be just fine. I know. Breathe. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright, that I'm gonna be just fine. I know. We carving out our own paths. No blueprint or map, but no trust fund pockets. Most times we swimming extra laps, check to paycheck, chipping at it like an architect. But it's too hella slow. Stop, light means go. More ebbs and flows. Self-deprecate on the endless grow. Back to where my freeway at. I look for you, black sheep in the sea of machines. Through your art, we reimagine what this world can be. Know that when you're broken, you open to words unspoken. Focus on your dreams, right? But just remember to breathe. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright, that I'm gonna be just fine. I know. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright, that I'm gonna be just fine. I know. Yeah. Zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be all right.
Breathe by Kim Ortle here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And now we'll get you back into Charlotte and the Powered by Age crew's conversation with author Doretta Law, picking up on feedback on her reading of her short story, Writing in Light.
Questions or comments? Nancy?
Powerful writing. I just caught in the words and the description. I love the just the little things about the taxi, you know, that choosing economics over being punctual. I just love the the use of your language and just being able to imagine everything as you described it. It was just beautifully written. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Diane.
Someone was telling me. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, it operates like an auction around here. If you move, you get chosen or you bought it. did you have a comment? Okay, well, you were going to respond, Doretta.
Charlotte, you're telling me that a lot of the Zoom participants are writers. Did any of you want to talk a bit about your writing practice and you know, your relationship to writing? Not to put anyone on the spot.
Aideen shared something the other week. What about your process? You're resuming. Some of you are resuming writing again.
No, I haven't resumed writing. That was a short story I had written a few years ago, about way in the past when I was young. I don't write, like I don't just sit down and decide to write. I have to be inspired by a specific event or person. And so all my poems have been very specific to an event or a person. And so most of them I don't feel are suitable for sharing. They don't have that much sense in a general way. The only thing I ever wrote at length was a 40-page memoir of 2.5 years spent in Africa. And I did that at the request of my son. That's the only thing that I have written sort of at any length. So I am absolutely fascinated by listening to all of you, but I haven't yet decided to try and resume writing. I may, but I'm not there yet.
Chris has written some things that are very stirring and thought-provoking. What about your process, or what did you think about what you heard?
Well, one of the things that I really liked in the piece that you read was the juxtaposition of the two characters and that image of the two guys. It was quite thought-provoking for me how different they were, and I think that's true of so many of us, that we show different faces in different parts of our personality in different situations. So that was interesting for me. My own writing, many times by many people, I've been told that I need to write a book. And I've always said, oh, yes. Partly because of the experiences that I've had in my life, and I've been very fortunate to have had many very rich experiences. So I am in the process of writing short pieces and working on one piece at a time. I don't seem to have the ability to just sit down and to write something chronologically. What I seem to do is a bit like, okay, I get an idea, or I remember something, I remember an event, I remember something that happened, and then I can sit down and I can write about that. So I'm at the point now where I have a whole bunch of these individual pieces written, and was still with lots of gaps, but trying to find, I think I'm at the point where I need to print some of these out and then put them together and see what it looks like, if it looks like anything as one piece. and then find the gaps and fill in the gaps. So that's kind of my process. It's very eclectic. If I think of something or something, we have a prompt in our writing group that brings something up for me, then I'll respond to that prompt. I'm as you were saying there, Aidan, I can't think about writing long pieces. So all my pieces are tend to be short and may become a longer piece when it's done.
Derek, what was your experience in writing short stories? How did you find, or how did you choose to put them together in How Does a Single Blade of Grass Give Praise to God?
I think it was partially just from being in an academic workshop setting. I decided that it's too much to try to get someone to think of an entire novel when they're just seeing piece by piece. And it was just a better learning experience to write short so that I could get feedback over 10 pages. And also because I also had trouble envisioning writing something a lot bigger. I couldn't see the structure for that. So there's something about a short story where I think all of us were capable of sitting down somewhere, telling a story from start to finish. And there's something that is just, you know, so ingrained in all of us where we have the power to do that with our voices. And so I think that was why the short story form felt so right, even as fiction, to be able to start something and take someone through a journey that was maybe 15 minutes long. It might take 10 years to write, but that the reading experience might be 15 minutes of someone's day, and that they can kind of take all of it in and be able to think about it that way. And it was just easier to be able to sit down and write and see it all. With the novel, sometimes I feel like I'm holding everything in my head, even though I have an outline, and I'm able to sit down and write small sections. I'm not writing it from start to finish the way someone like Zadie Smith does, where she says that, you know, she begins with the first sentence and when she writes the last one, the book is done. My book is not like that. My book is a giant sprawling thing where I've already written the end and I have two chapters that I've just been circling around. I was doing that right before I got on this Zoom with all of you, just trying to fix dialogue, move people through scenes. I find that personally to be very hard to do, to capture, you know, the motion of human beings, you know, in group settings is one of those things that in fiction, I'm just like, all right, I gotta just sit down and do this writing, even if it's difficult.
We've been talking at some points about death and how people are dealing with the subject of death. Why did you, or what inspired you to do a comedic novel about an inept company that's trying to open a theme park about death?
I have just had so many different jobs and so many different offices or in retail settings. And I just sort of, it's like an accumulation of all of the sort of organizational disasters that happen at different offices. And I just started kind of seeing that there was like a grim humor in really bureaucratic offices. What really kind of sparked the initial idea was a colleague showed me a form because we needed someone to test a website. And when he needed to get six signatures on it in order to allow the freelancer to have a pass to get through the door so that they would be able to go use the washroom in during the day of testing. And it was just like six signatures, and it's six signatures of people who don't handle their own paperwork. So it's six secretaries who are handling, you know, this paperwork. And I just was like, how much time is being wasted when we're trying to open, in this case, a visual culture museum How much time are we wasting not actually making the content, making, you know, these wonderful educational moments for the public to enjoy because there's just all this paperwork. And so in my mind, I was just like, there's something here to just talk about bureaucracy, to talk about work, to talk about the ways that things are set up that fail us, to talk about capitalism. And then I just thought it doesn't really work if I centered it in something real. And so I thought, why not a theme park and a theme park about death, a theme park about death, dying in the afterlife. And it sort of kind of grew from there. And I really started writing it seriously after my dad died. And then my mom died last year in November. And so I think it's just like that is kind of one of the things that's really driving the book is this relationship to, you know, the mortality of, you know, important people in our lives. Just want to, and to just look at the way we handle death and that, you know, maybe there's an afterlife, you know, most traditions and cultures around the world envision an afterlife. Yeah. And there's something kind of, it gives me hope to know that, you know, my parents are kind of out there in the afterlife, hanging out together. Yeah. So I guess that's a long way to say, I just like had a novel idea and really, the personal kind of aspect of dealing with like personal grief kind of sparked it. And I think like the comedy is that, you know, if things aren't funny, then it's sometimes it's just like, I don't want to sit in a kind of like depressive space every time I sit down to write. So I wanted to make myself laugh every time I sat down to deal with a lot of these things for myself.
Well, I think that's a great service for many people because, to just dwell on the morbidity or the sadness. But last week, I had a very healing experience in writing a tribute poem to my mom a year after she had passed. And I found the poetry was so healing because there were different things that I never really got to address or say thank you for in life that I could bring out through the poems. I don't know. Have any of you else had an experience like that about writing about death or a particular person in poetry or any form?
I wrote a poem which was read at the funeral of a very dear friend whom we had lost. This was about 3 years ago. Like I said, it's always some particular event or person that gets me to write a poem. And this was a very, very, very dear friend who was passionate about clocks. Used to buy old broken down antique clocks and bring them down to his basement and work on them for hours, and he would get lost in this. And so my poem with the idea was that his clocks had stopped. So that was a funny experience, which I have once a year related to death, on which I desperately need because it's important for me to be able to see a lighter, you know, brighter side to that. I get a form from my insurance company every year asking me if I'm still alive.
Wow.
And I duly fill this out and send it back saying, yes, I'm still alive and kicking. And, you know, my husband and I just break up every year that they would send this thing to me to know if I'm dead or not. So on the lighter side.
Oh, that's good. Diane, you had something you wanted to say?
There's actually a few different topics all mulling around in my head just over the past few comments, but I like Doretta's talking, the description really, really helped bring the images to the story. So my writing experience has really evolved. First, I learned to write basically, using a therapy of non-dominant handwriting, and that evolved into writing for other people. And often it was, I've written quite a few eulogies for my own family as well as for others, because a lot of people can't really pull their feelings together or express them. And so I did offer that as, you know, to help everybody actually, and just bringing that emotion to words was difficult for them. So I did that for a while. Then I got into, writing field guides, and then writing promotional material, newsletters, writing to encourage people to invest in a company kind of thing. Also, now I write for my clients, I write copy and I create blurbs to, you know, little ideas to get people just curious and everything. As for my own writing, I get ideas to write. I write songs, and because I have to have them come to me. And then I took a script writing course, which was very intense. And I based it on an old idea that I had years ago, turned it into a script. And now I'm in the process of turning that script into a novel. And so that's where I'm at. But every time I get started back into it, it's like, oh, another new idea. Oh, another little branch. And then something else wants to come. I says, is the story ever going to be over? Even though I'm always excited to find what happens next, that's what I'm finding with writing this story is what's going to happen next. Like with every other writing that I do, it's more conscious, right? But this particular story is like, I don't know what's going to happen next because it hasn't landed in here. So I find that the exciting part of writing this story.
Oh, that's a great excitement. Nancy has a question for you, Doretta.
Doretta, I was just wondering, you know, what would your suggestions be? Because I think that, you know, they say that everybody's got a book inside of them. And in terms of process or taking ideas and really filtering it and making a decision, because, you know, like I do love writing. I'm probably more of a journaler than a writer. But I have all these ideas and I've started all sorts of different books. I've contributed to a couple of different books. But to take these downloads, this inspiration of something that comes through, like maybe it's a particular topic or like Diane was saying, something happens, it sparks an interest. And, you know, so what would your suggestions be to people to take that creativity and find a way? Because I know that there's lots of different, you know, writing programs that people can get involved with, and they'll say, you know, do this or sit down and maybe do like morning pages every day, just clear your head, you know, write for 15 minutes no matter what. And sometimes that can be, for myself, it can be difficult. It's just like putting the pressure on. I find when I'm walking around, I do a lot of walking, a lot of hiking. And so I have all these thoughts that flow through my mind, you know, and I've even tried to, I've recorded it sometimes, but I still don't seem to be able to keep up with all those thoughts that seem so amazing at the time. And then if I sit down, okay, now I'm going to sit and formally write. It's just like, you know, what was that inspiration? Because it's no longer with me. So I was just curious what ideas you may have.
Thanks for this question. I think about this a lot because for me personally, when I first started writing, it was really difficult to sit down and actually execute the ideas. I think earlier Chris was saying, you know, writing in small sections. I think that that's so helpful. There isn't that pressure. I think the idea of having an entire book is such an enormous pressure to kind of start from. And I really like that idea of writing in small spurts. Because I think just one of my teachers at school always said, you know, you're making clay, you know, you're gathering the clay. And so I think, you know, you allow it to be generative, you can allow it to be expansive, you can write without judgment. And as that accumulates, you're going to be able to kind of look at everything that you have and to start seeing themes that are emerging, to see the things that are the most powerful, things that are really calling to you, that keep coming back, that, you know, you realize that you're circling around, you know, some really important ideas that really need to be expressed. And I think that that's the point where, instead of putting yourself in this kind of under pressure to decide upon the idea from the start and to then kind of set these limits and boundaries, to start from that expansiveness and to start, you know, moment to moment. And then once that flow is coming, to then sit down and evaluate and kind of be able to go through the ideas. And I think too, you know, there's a lot of writers that say, write every single day. And that doesn't account for the fact that, you know, not everyone has that in their day because of various responsibilities, because of health reasons. And I think that the thing that's most important is, you know, we find those pockets of time for us that we can, you know, maybe block off on our calendars. And it doesn't have to be this pressure of the daily. And that if an idea does come up, that we can have a notebook or index cards where we just write a sentence where, you know, if it comes to mind, capture that sentence. That might take 10 seconds and you don't need to immediately there drop everything. But that that will always be there for you when you're able to set aside that time to devote to thinking through that one sentence that you wrote one day. I think that that's one of the things that's so important, that we're not constantly under this idea of we have to be productive, that we have to kind of turn the writing into this sort of factory kind of line, assembly line approach that has this 9-to-5 to it. It's just like, that works great for some people, but I don't think that that is the answer for everyone. And I think that we can just be so gentle about our writing practice and to just say, it's coming to me now, and I will just always be open to the ideas and I will record them as they come. But that doesn't mean that I have to write for an hour when the idea comes. It can mean that I just put it down on a piece of paper, you know, within those 10 seconds. And then, you know, when I'm feeling, you know, up to it, I can kind of sit down and devote that time. And I think that's, for me, the way that things work best. I mean, sometimes it is just that kind of more grueling sitting time, but it really is just kind of being open to allowing the writing to be what it is.
Makes sense. Do you write when you're, do you choose your stories and then find your title from your stories, or do you find your title first and then build your stories to your title?
It's a little of both, but I am a person who's very driven by titles. So the title of the novel that I was talking about earlier is called We Are Underlings. And it kind of came to me because I was curious about the young adult novel, The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. And I just thought, you know, where does that come from? And so I Googled it, and it's a reference to Shakespeare. And so I read the full quote, and, you know, the full quote is something like, the fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves, in that we are underlings. And I just thought, Julius Caesar is actually one of the ultimate workplace dramas. Sure, it's like not a workplace like our workplaces, but it's the same kind of struggle. And I think that that it's just like, you know, greater people have written masterworks. And, you know, I have this like opportunity to take from the language that they've already put into the world and relate that as title. So I think a lot of times when I'm working with people, I'm always just like, titles do matter, because titles can create this space that doesn't exist. That when we make works that are untitled, it doesn't feel like there's a direction as much as when, you know, we have that place to go to. So yeah, title for me is just like a pretty big part of writing.
Sports seems to be also one of your interests, and you do a variety of writing. How does it work out when you're writing about different things?
Sorry, what was the, I couldn't.
Of course, it sports seems to be one of your
interests.
Yes.
Sports. It's one of those things where I wasn't particularly athletic as a child, but I don't know, I like watching people do amazing things. And I did train for a very long time in karate and went to the BC Winter Games. One of the random things that I did in high school is I actually have a gold medal from the BC Winter Games from karate. So it was one of those things that taught me that, like, even if I'm not naturally good at something, training can take me there, which has really helped with writing. So I think, I don't know, there's just something about sports where it's the entire range of emotions. You know, you go watch a sporting event, there's all these humans who have devoted their lives to being great, you know, just like putting it all out there. Sometimes it might just be 10 seconds of time that completely changes someone's life. Sometimes it's, you know, 82 games and a whole bunch of playoff games. There's just something kind of so amazing about how it creates community moments. It, in many ways, sports now functions in a way that, you know, pop culture doesn't anymore, because we're not all watching the same television shows at the same time or experiencing the same radio kind of programs in the same way. But sports remains one of those things that happens at a specific time that people around the world are experiencing within a certain time frame. And so I think, like, there's just something about that right now I'm really interested in, because I miss the fact that before, you know, we would be able to have these conversations around pop culture just because, you know, certain songs would be on the radio as we were, you know, driving or going to buy something at the store. And that's not the case anymore. And we're watching television in different ways. And there's just something about just seeing that kind of greatness in young people. I don't know, just it's just really exciting to see young people do amazing, amazing things. It's kind of hopeful. And I also really just like seeing how now athletes are really thinking about their careers and having this real control over what they do and really giving back in their communities. Like, I look at what some athletes do and it really is inspirational, and thinking about, you know, how to organize, how to really just think about how to serve a community. So this is one of these things. It's just like sports figures in my novel, even though it's about work, because one of the characters really likes basketball.
I noticed we had something in common, because in one of your Twitter feeds, you were talking about the Raptors and the hope of now getting a good draft as no hope for the championship exists.
I was sad when they got eliminated even from the play-in games.
We'll get right back to Sistacy's conversation with author Doretta Law. In the meantime, though, we're going to have another music break here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This is the track Legacy by Only a Visitor.
Through the night on tracks of steel. Legacy by Only a Visitor from their album Technicolor Education here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM. And now we're going to send you back to the conclusion of Charlotte's conversation with Doretta Law.
For those who might have tuned in late, we've been talking with Doretta Law. She's the author of a short story collection, a poetry chapbook, Cause and Effect. She's writing a comedic novel, and she has dispelled any idea that people have said, just stick with one thing or stick with one theme as a writer, that you've been able to choose and enjoy writing. There's something that you're offering in June that I think people would be interested in as part of being one of the Vancouver Writers Fest featured authors. What is the workshop you're presenting?
Okay, so it's a workshop that's called My Roots, and a donor has made it possible to have this workshop be free. It's aimed at immigrants to Canada. It's on Saturday, June 5th and Sunday, June 6th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific time. There's a registration through the Writers Fest, so that's writersfest.bc.ca, and if you have a look on their website, you can look for the event My Roots and sign up. I think usually what happens is there's a lot of interest, and so I think they select a small group of people so that we're able to have a conversation. So hopefully if you're able to sign up, you're able to get a spot. So check that out. Last year, we had a really good time working through just writing about place together on Zoom. So it was like one of the first Zoom writing workshops I'd ever done. And I found that it really was really helpful. We just kind of do these 5-minute writing exercises and kind of get unstuck from, you know, any sort of blocks that we might have around writing about places and memories and things like that.
Well, but thank you for coming. And this is just the beginning, because we are with Powered by Age and calling Jump into June. We're going to have more trainings and activities. Sometimes in the past, on a Tuesday, we've had a training first on how to get onto Zoom. We had some orientation and small group training for people on how to read their stories or read their poems. And they are recorded on our Powered by Age podcast in the section called Spins, Stories, Poems, Interviews, and Novelties. So that's something that any of you who are listening or who are part can indicate in the chat box or indicate by email you're interested in. And then we also want to invite you to come back, because there are some people within our group who are looking at how do you make money, how do you get published? And I understand that's something that you teach seniors and others about.
Oh, yeah. I was teaching a class on preparation for career writing at UBC, and I've learned a lot, and I would love to share more about the ways that it's possible to make money from writing and get our work to more readers.
Okay, well, we will look forward to reading your work and having you back. Thank everyone for tuning in today. We look forward to seeing you again, and that's it from me, Sister C, Charlotte Farrell. Anyone else have a parting comment you want to make? Wendy, we welcome you, and we look forward to hearing your stories and seeing you again next week as well.
Doria, I was so late in finding the link.
But now you have it. So tell a friend. We are welcoming other people to take part in the podcast. From the same invitation or email that you had, you can give them the address, but also pbaafc@gmail.com is a way for people to get in touch with me so that we can enter your name and your email address in our calendar invites. And also by giving us your phone number, we're not going to sell it to anyone, but by having your phone number, it helps with the security, as Jesse is watching to make sure we're not getting bombed by one of the sick minds that likes to play jokes on Zoom. By having your number, if you just show up as a phone number, we'll still know who you are. So 1 o'clock next week, we look forward to having you again on Powered by Age. Well, you have been listening to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. One thing that you can act upon doing is going to visit some of the Vancouver Writers Fest activities that you'll find online, checking out the workshop that Doretta Law is going to be having, and just experiencing yourself the opportunity of the ideas that were given on journaling, carrying a notebook or a note card so that when an idea comes to you, you write. I love writing poetry, and when I hear the question, what time is it? I always think it's love time, poem time. So I'll see you again next week at 10, and love time, poem time to you.
Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time.